I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Post-election, looking forward to the next half hour. We're going to be joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, but also Mayor-elect Cory O'Connor will join us. We'll see what his game plan is for the city of Pittsburgh as we enter a new year. 2026 promises to be a big deal. You got the airport opening soon. You've got the NFL draft coming. You've got a lot of plans and a lot of money coming this way to build out infrastructure. So we'll check in with Cory O'Connor here in the next half hour. One of the stories that grabbed our attention is melatonin, commonly used by a lot of people to try to get a better night's sleep. It is a hormone in the body that plays a role in sleep, and so taking melatonin over the counter is now one of these things they flagged and say long-term could have an issue with your heart. A preliminary research released by the American Heart Association Monday says long-term use of melatonin may increase risk of heart failure. Now, we hear these kinds of things a lot about different drugs, but this isn't, I don't even think people consider it a drug. So we wanted to reach out. Dr. Natalie Gentile is with us this morning. Welcome back, Doc.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
You know what I'm talking about when we hear these releases. This or that may do this or that. Just caffeine and coffee. We've heard it's good, it's bad, too much is bad, not enough is, you know. So what's the latest on melatonin, which a lot of people use to get a better night's sleep?
These headlines can certainly cause some panic, you know, and a lot of confusion. And that's the goal, right, is to kind of get people locked in and reading. But I think it's important to break down what's actually going on here. The claims here in some of these articles are talking about melatonin and potentially long-term use of it increasing your risk for heart failure. So that's when the heart just isn't pumping as well anymore. And these studies, the study in particular that they're talking about, is very preliminary at this point. And it's not really a super strong one that we can say melatonin is going to cause heart failure, right? We call that causation. This study is maybe saying there could be an association. There's a signal that's kind of catching our attention, but it's definitely not something that's going to change our dogma right now as far as how we use melatonin in practice.
Well, as a physician talking to patients, and I'm sure once you meet people and they find out you're a doctor, they want to ask you a bunch of questions. But I would imagine melatonin never seemed to be one of those things that signaled some kind of alert. In fact, quite the opposite. They're like, oh, now they have it in gummy form.
You can get melatonin in all kinds of different doses at, you know, any store, basically. And a lot of people are using it. A lot of us in medicine do talk about it and prescribe it. I think it's important to come back to the fact, though, that in the United States, at least, melatonin is not a prescription drug. Melatonin is a supplement that you can get over the counter. And so at this point, it's not highly regulated. You actually don't necessarily know what you're getting or how much of it you're getting when you get a melatonin supplement. And the other thing is melatonin supplements can come with other things that are in them, right? Like a lot of times they're paired with other supplements like L-theanine, for example. And so I think it's hard to really assess in these types of studies how much someone was truly taking because it's not highly regulated. Were they taking it every day for sure, right? We're relying on people, you know, having memory of what they took. And then what else was in these melatonin supplements that per the electronic medical health, you know, record, what else was in them? Because that's what the study was looking at. They were looking at health records from these patients. So those aren't always completely accurate.
Yeah, you make a very good point. That's why I wanted to ask, because people hear these kind of reports and it's important to give them a broader sense of it. And it's not, you know, cause and effect necessarily, as you pointed out.
Exactly. And we have to also look at the broader picture of two other things. When somebody chronically has bad sleep and they're diagnosed with insomnia, there's a lot usually going on, right? Like that is going to increase your risk for cardiovascular and metabolic disease. on its own, whether you're using melatonin or not. So I think that's one thing that's underlying here. And the other thing we have to discuss is sleep hygiene. You know, sleep hygiene and how well you kind of set yourself up for good sleep and your habits really play a huge role in your long-term health, including your sleep health, right? And so that's something that I think we need to pay a lot more of attention to and make sure is going well, whether someone's using melatonin or not.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard it, and I'm sure for many, sleep hygiene. You're not talking about taking a shower before you go to bed.
You know what, Larry? If that's part of your routine, you know, a nice hygienic bath, sure. But sleep hygiene is a really important thing I discuss a lot with my patients. And to me, it starts, honestly, the moment you wake up. You know, waking up at a consistent time in the morning, having a morning peaceful routine, starting your day with some type of, you know, meditation, gratitude, breath work. That leads to a day that is more productive and feeling better energy, which means that probably at night you're going to be more naturally tired and ready for the evening to come. And then sleep hygiene is that time right before bed with some type of great routine. It's screens out of your room, trying not to focus on the phone, doom scrolling, TV, you know, lights out at the same time, and trying to have that routine and consistency goes a really long way when it comes to your sleep health.
Yeah, so many people wake up, me included, sometimes you grab the phone and it kind of takes you down a rabbit hole of negativity. And that's not where you want to start your day. Well, before you go, what does melatonin do for the body, do we know?
Yeah, so melatonin, when you take it, is going to kind of lead to that sleep signaling to say it's time to go to bed. But our body already naturally produces melatonin in the brain and does that process for us. So a lot of studies in the past actually have shown that melatonin and taking it is probably not making as big of a difference for our sleep as much as a placebo effect. So if I take melatonin, I think I'm going to get sleepier and have better sleep, right? So that's that placebo effect. And I've definitely seen that with patients. And I think once you really start to nail down, again, that sleep hygiene and that routine, and you take the melatonin away, you really empower a patient to have better sleep quality in and of itself.
Great information, Doc. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Natalie Gentile, Direct Care Physicians of Pittsburgh. Get some sleep.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.